Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady, and I'm here. I'm back again. Can you believe my luck? I'm here with Keith Malley and Hemda. Welcome to the show, my friends.
Thanks for having us.
What if somebody else was hosting and you're like, oh, not my luck today?
Yeah. Well, what if I interviewed somebody else about the show? Right. I mean, there are a lot of people who listen. Doesn't have to be you guys every time.
Everybody has opinions, right?
You should do that one time to us. Like, hey, guys, I'm going to skip it. I have Tracy Carnazzo and Andrea Allen.
Yeah, this week we've heard enough from you. We're going to talk to somebody else about the show. But this week, we're so lucky to have you both as guests on Last Week on Keith and the Girl. The last time we spoke, last few times actually, was in front of a live audience. Who, baby, showbiz, the bright lights, the big city. I perform to an adoring public from the comfort and safety of my own home. I became absolutely intoxicated by the attention. I absolutely could not fall asleep. And then I crashed into a deep, despairing depression. How have you been dealing with the fallout from Keith and the Girl Week?
Well, you're not a performer per se, so this being in front of all these people is and seeing their faces or reactions or even the audience in the chat room is new to you. And I know what you mean about it's exciting and hard to sleep after that.
Oh, yeah.
Kenda?
Well, I really thought, you know, we've been trying to keep a schedule here at, you know, shout out to Xerxes Household. And we kept a pretty tight schedule of just, you know, maybe one cry during KATG week. Nice. And then, you know, you kind of, we overdid it a little bit. So for the next.
I'm sorry, 1 second. That is a great idea. So I give my girlfriend like three cries. I'll go a week. And she just marks it off. And if you used it, when I was a kid, you can only have so much TV time. And if you decide to use it now, you can use it now. If you want to save it, there's not rollover cries week to week, but you're allowed three a week.
Well, every household makes their own rule. I believe in rollovers, but I don't judge non-rollover houses for sure. So like the next 2 days, we had all these plans to just like get back on track, like maybe have a casual day the next day and like do some work. Holy shit, we laid around like whales on the beach. It was just like, any minute, we'll get up and we'll do something. And we did not. Sure. So it took us a minute to get back on track. But I think it was a minute that we should have either seen coming or we should forgive ourselves for not seeing coming and have a fucking couple of days off.
But then just the other day, Kenda and I saw the recorded footage. And very, very pleased with it.
That's
and
great.
You look great. You sound great. Everything came together nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's very strange for your biggest showbiz moment to happen when you're fully alone in your house. I don't think
that's
that.
Right.
I think that that's like probably a newer phenomenon for people.
Well, people said how good you were in the roast, but it's like, you were great!
and then we go to the chat party afterwards, and that's a fun time because you're like not alone for a minute. You get off stage and you're like, we just did this thing, right? Everyone just talk about anything. I just need to like have this thing happen around me. And then you suddenly are alone. So
yeah,
I should have
gone into the chat after the roast, but I didn't. I tried to just, I don't know, eat macaroni and cheese. It was terrible. I was up all night replaying my success in my head, realizing that nothing would ever compare to this feeling of pure elation that it is to be absolutely adored and revered, you know?
You know what's funny is, you know, a lot of people who listen to one podcast, they listen to a lot and you always hear like, hey, click the like button, subscribe. The feeling that Bianca is giving you is the feeling that we all get from each and every response that you have. You give us 5 stars on iTunes. We're like, oh, dopamine. You give us a like on whatever. You go like, hey, I thought this episode was very funny. Double dope. it's all real and terrible and awesome at the same time. It's fantastic and please feed us.
It's the only drug I'm allowed to do besides coffee.
Right. The doctor says, did you check? I would check.
Yeah.
Give her what she needs, people. Click those buttons. You have them. You know you want to click buttons.
Click my buttons. I need the buttons clicked. It's very hard to get used to normal life after your brush with fame, you know?
This is what you do on a first date. On the way over, just like something of theirs. They're dripping. You're in. You throw a cooked dinner on top of that, you're golden.
I remember my glory days, KATG week online. Ugh, those were the days. Anyway.
Well, we're about to release the week pretty soon, so it's going to come back. So get that mac and cheese ready.
Well, my mom really wants to see. So
she can.
She'll be excited.
Does that make you nervous that she's going to see it?
No. She is sharing in my triumph.
That's nice.
A win for me is a win for the family.
Yeah, I always forget, like, oh, yeah, your mom's like a good, reasonable person.
But that, you know, a win for me is like a win for my parents, too. I'm like, oh, I did this thing. And my dad's like, you're welcome. So that's kind of the same.
Yeah. He's like, no, you mean I did that thing.
Right.
But we do have a job to do today because this is why we're here. It's not fun and games. It's not joking, entertainment. It's a job. It's contractually obligated. We do have to talk about last week's shows, starting with the week before last week's show, episode 3258. The show is called Essential. Now, this is a show that you guys did together, and it was a show that I listened to.
Okay. All right. That's a review from someone who hates me. What happened?
Keith cut his hair. You ate bread. There were public figures. The friggin' president of the Philippines. Keith knows where that is. He has a map, you know? Other stuff that you talked about, such as Spooky, your friend, who's a guy who is also not in the country right now. This other guy has a harem. I don't know. I mean, this is what you guys talk about.
Right. What bummed you out the most?
Probably the fact that you haven't been cutting your own hair this whole time. That was really sad.
Right. Were you upset that I'm so much older than you and I'm learning about these things that you've always done?
Yeah. Yeah. Sad. To quote our president, sad. No, but I really think, you know, we're starting to have a hard time knowing what to talk about because everything is, I mean, we're always talking about the same thing. Do you feel that way?
I do. It's even in real, in regular conversation, when somebody says, how are you? I go, good. And then I go, I know that's the wrong answer, but you get it. Right. And, okay. This is a weird story. Earmuffs for you guys. You don't like when I talk about this, but we had some sexy time one morning last week. And
so far so good. Yeah, so far okay.
I'm trying. And then later in the day I go to Xerxes, I go, remember this morning? And he goes, no, what happened this morning? I'm like, well, you know, come on, think about it for a second. Remember this morning? That was fun. He's like, I sincerely don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, I fucking blew you this morning. he goes, that was this morning. That was yesterday. And I'm like, no, I'm not having this conversation. Like, just, oh.
Baby, your blowjobs transcend time.
Well, he really made it better. He goes, I guess it's good that I don't know which morning that happened because it must mean I'm getting endless, you know? Right. You see how I avoided the words so you guys can feel better?
Thank you. No, we got it. Yeah, we got it. Maybe it's also a turn off to Bianca, like the show starts and I go, guess what? Crime is down. Oh, what's up? Domestic violence. Now let's begin the show.
She misses the report. Days of like, huh?
You have to report the news. That's what you're, you know, that's your,
I have to.
Your duty. As long as the news is a huge bummer. That's
what if I, you know what we should do? As just for Bianca. A show like The Virus isn't happening.
Yeah.
And we just make up shit we did. How's everybody doing? Great. How exciting is it to be back to regular work?
Love it.
I might like that. Try it.
I went on vacation yesterday. I'm back now. I have a tan. Everything's wonderful. You guys should try it. Definitely worth it. Yeah.
I think you proposed that as a joke and sort of as like a burn slam to me. But now that I'm thinking about it,
you love it.
You know, 3,000 some odd episodes, might as well try it.
What's a TV show that you like, Bianca?
I don't fucking like anything. No, just kidding.
Right. Well, I'm very excited that they brought back The West Wing. I'm on season 12, episode 2. They have all my, I can't believe Andrew Dice Clay was in it. You'll get a kick out of that. It's short, you know, et cetera.
I just finished watching the BoJack series to the end. And I, just to give you an update on me, I avoided 5 different references of BoJack in this recording so that I don't sound like a weirdo. And you guys keep asking what the hell you're talking about. So that's what's going on in my head.
Well, I'll tell you what went on in my life, Bianca. Just earlier today, I was watching The West Wing with BoJack Horseman.
Wow. The horse. Amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
I love it.
That's the show.
No, I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm just JKing about the show being too much of a bummer. I think it's just the right amount of a bummer.
Aw, that's nice.
Yeah. What was the poll for that one?
The poll was, will Bianca kill herself after her big dopamine attack? The poll was, have you noticed that something you believed was essential really doesn't matter? Yes or no? And I said, yes. I think I don't need a person to cut my hair. Not to bring that back up again. 56% of the audience said, yeah, I noticed there's things that don't really matter anymore.
Nothing really matters anymore.
Like, are we going to need door greeters? There's going to be a lot of people losing their jobs. Like, oh, we don't need you, I think.
That's already, I think, 26 some million people lost their jobs. So,
yeah.
Okay, what's another more million?
But I mean, like, you know, forever. When things are back in business, you're going to need, you know, the majority of those jobs again. But there is going to be ones. And also, it's a restructuring of everything. Not that everybody hasn't thought about this already. But if, you know, we're like, I'm going to keep you on because it's easier to keep you on. And then it's like, nah, we kind of just hit reset. And it's easier not to get you back.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that's why people are getting those checks, because it's just an unbelievable mark in history.
I got my
check. Thanks for bumming us out again. You did?
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
I did. But I had to pay a state tax bill that was like basically the same amount as the federal stimulus check. So in my fantasy, I would just have Donald Trump give the check to Andrew Cuomo himself and just leave me out of it. Because that's...
And then look at you and shrug.
Yeah, that's all that happened. I was like, all right, you guys just do it. Why do I have to do it? Right. Stupid. Anyway, we do have to move on to episode 3,259. Fuck you, Dad.
Well, hopefully this cheered you up.
Yeah, fuck you, Dad. It's me, Keith. Get out of my life, bro. And Hemda's like, 420, but at home. Let's do it online. Digital. Oh, I can see you on my video. Smoking pot, the analog meets the digital. You know, we're all one together. And what is a virus but a cure? You know?
A virus is just a chance to find a cure. That's right.
Oh, thank you for bringing my culture to the show and for understanding it. Yeah, that's nice. I feel seen.
So, Keith, you told your dad to fuck off.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, that's nothing I would ever do, nothing I've ever done. And it was easy and fast, and it feels great.
I love that for you. And I love how everybody who you ran it by was like, yeah, that's pretty much fine. What you said is good.
I was so surprised by that. I was so surprised by that, especially like, you know, a sibling, my girlfriend, you know, sometimes wonders if she gets, she's like, oh, is it too much? Then another email comes in. She's like, okay, but now is this too much? Oh, okay, another one. And this one, no one had a problem with. My mom was into it.
Well, I think it's like the first time that you've sort of treated him like anyone else that you'd talk to. You know, you're not like succumbing to his preferred language, which is like clever, too clever by half, holier than thou, that kind of stuff. You're just like, hey, man, fuck off, you know, just like I would say to anyone else who tried to talk to my ex-wife behind my back. Fuck off. Right. You're not special. And I think as a listener of the saga, it's kind of, it was kind of a relief because it's like, all right, Keith like can kind of let it go in a different way now. We're back down to earth with this guy.
Yeah, you're right. It is the way he talks to anybody else, because anybody else who, let's say, you know, he only talks to people on the show. So when someone's a guest on the show and he thinks they're sort of leaving something out, he'll yell at you, don't try to trick me, and then tell you to fuck off if you continue the behavior. So this is now Keith Malley is him 100% of the day, 24/7, him and his best life all day, every day. Congratulations. You are a fully developed white man in this country.
And Dad has just felt respect for me for the first time. I treated you like a guest.
Yeah, you became Keith Malley.
Yeah.
You were truly reborn on 420, like, you know, ganja and Kind Bud and fucking Sour Diesel and Pass the Dutchy, Spliff, right. Blunt.
So, two more. Give me two more.
Purple Haze.
They say that.
Groovy Jazz Cigarette. Ha ha.
They love that. Okay. That was good.
Oh my goodness. They do that. Wow. Happy belated 420. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I love it, bro. Freaking party on, Wayne. No, but seriously, did you have a nice time on your holiday?
I did. Yeah.
On your high holiday? Bruh.
Yeah. Nice.
Judaism. Holidays.
Yeah, bruh. D-A-Z-E. What? Pot.
I did. I dropped into the chat a couple times, you know, kind of pass the Dutchy on the left-hand side. And people were lighting up with us. Keith was there. He lit up. It was really actually nice because we had a couple different time zones happen with 420. And
time is a social construct, man. Okay.
We just all have to meet at a certain thing, but then it's all based on the time 420, but time is bullshit. We can do whatever we want.
Don't talk to me about time, okay? Time was invented by the government.
Well, I mean, we said different time things, but who knows which one of us was accurate. Somebody just goes 420 and we're like, yeah, it's totally 420.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. And
Bianca was taking it in.
In the same week, my Bob Ross Mashable video came out, and that felt really good. So that was a dream come true. People like Hannibal and like Aparna did it, like actual comedians. And I was very nervous to not kind of live up to the standard of comedy that they've been putting out on that show. But boom, I got edited down to 3.5. Most people got edited down to 1.5. So I feel like I gave them some stuff.
Yeah. Did you have an adrenaline OD like me and then fall back down to earth with a terrible thud?
Well, this is...
Did you get very excited and then hear a Keith and the Girls show about doom and gloom?
I actually was very excited to be there. And then once it started, it was just mostly panic the whole time that I was so glad that you couldn't see in the video because I couldn't keep up with it. And I was afraid that I wasn't being funny enough times. And it was just a lot to keep up with. And I wasn't sure if I did the right thing. And so I walked out of there just, I'm sure, you know, I usually call Keith after these kinds of things, you know, and I talked to Xerxes, obviously, whatever. I spoke to people and they're like, I'm sure you did great. And I was like, this might be the one time. They're not even going to put my episode out. And I love the episode. I am so excited by it. I am, yeah, it was a very, very good surprise. I was very nervous. Alyssa texted me saying she just saw it. She thought it was great. And I was like, but Alyssa's a nice person, but she doesn't lie to me. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch it. And pleasantly surprised. Thank you. That's the best commercial I've ever done for myself. I apologize. And I take it back and I'm just a woman. Thank you.
Well, wait until you hear Bianca's review.
Painting, huh? Must be nice for people with eyes who can see. What about the blind?
Very intense.
JK, no, I'm happy for you. And I'm happy for you, Keith.
Thank you. We asked the audience for the poll, did you ever tell your parent to fuck off? 38% say yes.
Keith is blown away by this, as if
I'm surprised.
Yeah, we all ask the audience how many people had to dig a hole, and then it still took them 45 years to tell their parents to fuck off. Holy shit! They have been due a fuck off. Keith is like very much like a good boy in the upbringing. He's like, you can't just tell your parents to fuck off.
You can.
As much as you can start a podcast, tell them to fuck off in recordings, and you know, by chance they hear it, you could tell them to fuck off in person.
Well, my parents were good in a weird way that they knew how to control me, and for the most part, knew when it was too much. Like when my dad, I was probably 16, way too old, but my dad would still take an encyclopedia to my ass. And really my lower back, because he couldn't hold it well. But there was something that happened where he knew, like, fuck, it's a joke to him now. I'm not that strong, and if I keep doing it, he's going to fight back. All of a sudden, I must have had a smirk, and it just stopped. And then you have these other families, we call them regular families, where the dad doesn't know when to stop, and the kid's like, wait a minute, I can punch you back. So, like, my dad knew how to control me, and that I didn't find it so weird. That I didn't even bother telling other people about digging holes. I'm like, obviously you get punished in your way. I have a yard.
Yeah, but they stop you.
Abuse and emotional abuse.
At the same time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'm away and my dad doesn't see the look on my face and know how to control it. So through emails, he tries a couple decades later and obviously he's going to fuck up.
Yeah.
You nailed him.
It's so weird to hear Keith saying, you know, my parents were really good and you know, I braced myself. Like, I get that you were never starving, kind of, but my parents were really good, and then finishes the sentence at controlling me.
Right.
Is a big thing to hear. Yeah. It's very strange.
That's nice, but Keith.
Congrats. You're out of that control.
But when I see like a kid giving their parents shit in the grocery store out of control, I kind of want to whisper to the mom, like, he's going to be fighting you in 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be physical.
Someday he'll email you to fuck off.
That's if they're silent. I say that.
And he'll
this is going to go through email.
He'll be so excited to tell everybody in the world that he finally told you to fuck off.
Oh,
well, Kenda, did you tell a parent to fuck off?
I did, yeah. It was so the day that I moved out of my parents' house, at this point, we really weren't getting along. My mom was trying in the sense that she took us to a therapist together. And I know she was just trying to control me in that way. And I was like, hey, I told her in the therapist's office, I'm moving out. And she's like, don't do this to me, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I already put the deposit, and I don't even know if I did put the deposit or not, but I was leaving and I needed this to end. And she was like, well, this didn't work. We didn't go to therapy again. She was very resentful. And I think she still didn't take me seriously. So when my friend came with his car to help me, you know, move my stuff, my dad got super mad, and he just gets mad out of nowhere. He never talks and he has a temper. He kicked the guy's car, dented it. And and then, and my dad believes, like, he's not always like physically violent, but like we were expected to be like, well, you know, you drove him out of control. And my mom started with that nonsense. And she's like, you know, We asked you not to, and blah, blah, blah. And I go, you are protecting this man who just did this to somebody's car. He doesn't know him, and he's trying to help your daughter do a thing that she wanted. I invited him over, and you guys have the audacity. I was just so fed up, and I was yelling and screaming. I threw a shoe across the room, and I go, just fuck you. Fuck this, and like, don't just get the fuck out of my way. And I don't know if those exact words, but I definitely crossed the fuck line. You know what I mean? Right. And she stopped, but they didn't talk to me for 2 weeks after. And the only reason why they started talking to me again is because it was a holiday, a Jewish holiday, and they wanted me to come over so that people don't know that we're having this issue. And in fact, they told me not to tell anyone that I've already moved out. So, wow. Yeah, all of that.
Tell them, I want you to tell them you're still a fucking baby. Can you do that? You know? Like, just say, don't say you moved out. Say you're still a child.
Yeah.
And you live here, over 18. Do me that favor.
Yeah, please. By the way, I moved out a day before my 21st birthday. It wasn't, you know, I was like, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, right, but this isn't going to set well with them. 21 doesn't matter. They are thinking that I'm in slut land now and there's no way that I'm going to get married because people are going to be like, oh, you left your parents' house. But I'm like, dude, we're in America now. And you couldn't argue like that. You couldn't be like, this is totally normal. In America, I'm 3 years late. I feel like an idiot telling people that I still live in my parents' house. It's embarrassing.
And I don't even mean grading on a curve. Kendra and I were such good kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I really, until I was like 16, I don't think I did anything bad, like at all, really.
Right. One murder at 17.
Well, you push a person.
Bianca, have you ever told a parent to fuck off?
I don't think I've ever used that words. No.
Are we just bragging over here?
You too. Yeah. I mean, I've said to my dad, like, you know, your expectations that you're having for me are really out of line, and I don't appreciate it, you know, stuff like that, where I'm like,
hello,
doing therapy.
You know how my father, like, and I used to try to talk things out. I would write my parents letters. This is what I'm upset by, blah, blah, blah. Do you know the kind of shit that I would get if I'm like, this is not matching my expectations or whatever? This would be my dad. Oh, Hamda has expectations. Look at Hamda.
I know.
We brought her to America, and now she has expectations. Oh, did we move you to a different country and give you a passport? And now you need some expectations.
Let me know if this dinner meets your expectations.
Yeah. Oh, Hamda, we don't want to just fall behind on your expectations. Hey, Michael, Andrew, are you good with Hamda? Because she has expectations. Like, I'm like just bullying me.
I know.
Here she comes, Miss America and her expectations.
Yeah, and they would say things like, oh, you found America in Hebrew. Like, oh, look at this. You found America. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really lucky to be able to, I felt free to say whatever I wanted to them, you know? So I don't take that for granted. And even when they did make me mad, we were able to communicate about it, which is nice.
That's really nice. That would throw me off. It would happen in people's families, and I thought it was just an American thing. And kids would be like, no, I'm unhappy with this part of blah, blah, blah. And I go, okay, who cares? Why are you saying this? What are you saying this in front of a guest to your parents? And the parents are like, oh, you know what? That's a good thought. And let's switch it. I'm like, am I going to get slimed any minute now? Like, what happens after this? Like, what's the protocol when somebody is listening and then responding from a decent place? Kill myself?
Right. Well, Bianca, if either of your parents do act up, mm-hmm. I have free time if you need a letter or two, okay?
All right. I'll let you know. We do have to move on to episode 3260. It started as a joke with Eugene Merman. A big guest during a weird time for recording. You know, there is a little bit of a lag. You don't know, you can't like feed off each other's energy. You're in different places, different, there's different vibes. How do you guys feel like that went?
Well, now we have Zoom now where we see the person, even though we record a different way. We didn't have that then. To me, that makes it easier. It's always been different.
We've been trying different recordings ever since, and I think we finally found the sweet spot. Like ever since this pandemic, I think we finally found the sweet spot. But here's the thing about Eugene Merman. He was in our studio, and I think it was just the staccato the last time. I think that Eugene is an incredible and very talented comic, but in a podcast, he's more measured than podcasts, I think. And so that pause you hear is us allowing him to have that pause that he's used to, you know, I think. So right. He's not a chatty person, and he'll give you very direct answers. And because he's funny, it'll be funny. But, you know, it was a heavy load to watch his documentary, know that this is a very significant part of his life, that he did a comedy festival that started as a joke that became very successful. And knowing that his wife just died as this thing came out, and that we can't ignore that. We're going to ask him about it, but we're also not tight. We're not like, we haven't spoken to him in 7 years, and you know, it's like, do we ask him
now? And he also wants to talk about the documentary, but at the same time, not that this is news, but he says it in the documentary, he knows he doesn't give of his personal self. So it's like, okay, let's see where we decide to find an in-between or a little of both.
Yeah, I thought it was such a good episode. And it was really a great sort of time capsule of not only like his personal experience probably throughout like making and promoting this documentary, but also like how kind of media is working right now during the pandemic, and how are people gonna, you know, make art and share their art with others. It was just interesting to hear. I thought it was really well done.
That's good.
So thank you.
It was nice to talk to him. He is a very genuinely good seeming person, you know?
Right. It is weird that, you know, I feel like I have to. I know the line, I think, but I also have to assume this person understands what's going on that I'm interviewing and that we're half friends automatically. So, but if I do make a joke trying to figure out how long him and his wife have been together, because I don't know, and then I go, oh, so it was the real deal. And I, you know, I get this vibe, and I could be making it up, that he's thinking, what am I doing? What? Yeah, my wife is a real deal that died 3 months ago.
I know.
You know, I'm like, all right.
Yeah, you put yourself out there just every time. And it's got to be hard. I think you do a great job. I'd be terrified. I'd be like, Mr. Merman, what do you want to talk about?
I knew you were in love. I knew it was a big deal. Okay.
Me? I don't have a personality. You go. Tell me your story. However you want. Whatever you want. Not my show, your show.
Right. Tell me. I'll be in the bathroom. Tell me when you're done.
Yeah.
Call me.
Especially because it would be so easy for the person, if they didn't want to be doing the interview, to just boop, leave meeting on the frigging Zoom meeting, you know, and then be like, oh, sorry, my fucking internet, you know,
right.
Like so easy to bail on stuff right now.
Well, there's also different ways of recording where some programs you record on your end and then it uploads to the one person in charge. So a person, it could get too personal and the person at the end goes, all right, we're done. Goodbye. Like, no, now we have to sit in this awkwardness for 2 minutes. Other than you hating me, how was your day?
And actually,
no, I think fuck you. You guys can use your parts. Click. Who knows?
And actually, we did have to do that. We had to wait 2 minutes with Eugene Merman afterwards, just to so his file can upload while we're still on the phone. And I thought maybe that might get awkward. Like, okay, we don't have to talk now. But it was very pleasant and very lovely. And I think he is a lovely person.
But it has happened where we've had a person or two where after the show, they're like, oh, can I cut that part out? I wish I didn't, blah, blah, blah. So we have to, now we're going to have to deal with it in a way of saying, no, but stay on as we discuss. Or it's like, well, here I think that done. No. Goodbye.
File transferred 100%. Goodbye.
Right. Beep, beep, boop. Click.
Yeah. Well, shifting gears a little bit, Keith, can you explain the Fiona Apple album to me?
Yes. So I was afraid some women wouldn't understand it. It's a very clever album.
You keep threatening to explain it, and now I want you to give up the goods. Tell me what it means. Please.
Okay, let me... well, it starts with, I believe the track is I Want You to Want Me, right?
I think it's classic. Love Me.
I Want You to Love Me. Let's see. Let me look it up real quick. Fetch the Bolt. I have to do it track by track. You understand. Have you heard the album?
Yes, several times. And I just, for the life of me, do not
you can't
understand
figure it out.
What the hell she's talking about. What's this crazy chick talking about? Help me.
Okay, I want you to love me is the opening track, and she's looking to be loved. Okay? Have you ever thought of somebody and wanted them to love you back?
I think so.
Okay. Have somebody not expressed that they loved you, but deep down you know that they do?
I don't know. I mean, how do you prove it? I need a poll. I need science. I need numbers, metrics.
And she can feel it. She felt it. And when she says she knows that she's loved in the dark, she could tell that men are masturbating to her.
Now, when you say feeling, can you explain what that is?
Sure. Cut to Shamika, track number 2, where there is somebody in her high school that believed in her. It was a feeling that finally... she could amount to something. So when you have not necessarily a fact, but how you perceive things, that is a feeling. Fetch the Bolt Cutters is she's the third track. She's releasing her feelings. She's stopping being put down as a woman. Have you been put down as a woman?
I don't think so.
Have people not let you talk and express yourself?
I've been pretty...
Were you ever taken as if you're less than? That's what Fetch the Bowl Cutters is about. Then it leads to Under the Table. And then it kind of repeats itself in the metaphors and similes. But that is the gist. Let me stand up. Let me be me. Quit putting me down. I won't let you kick me under the table. I won't shut up.
Did they have that track? Did she have that track? Apples and oranges, bananas and grapes.
I do hear them.
Original.
I do hear them with Fiona Apple's song. That was definitely an influence. Not in a stealing way, but there's something there for sure.
I thank you, my big crazy.
I've been in here too long. My favorite is Rack of His. That's my favorite track.
Yes. And I like, and you're not wrong, but it's not the best one.
It's my favorite because I love, you know, big titties, that rack of his. He's got a great rack.
I was afraid of that. What she's saying with a wink is his rack of guitars and his machismo.
No, I'm pretty sure she's telling him to smile. He'll have a better life. Yeah.
Check out that rack, baby. Hello.
Right, but Heavy Balloon is better, Under the Table is better, and For Her is better if you want to give those other chances.
I'm still old school Fiona Apple. Slow Like Honey, anybody?
Fast As You Can.
Fast As
Criminal.
You Can.
Criminal.
I'll explain that one another time.
You're under arrest. For being too sexy.
All right, so that one you get.
Yeah, I get that one. Okay, thanks, Keith. I appreciate
Absolutely, absolutely. That's not at all. It's because I'm kind of out of it that I can see it clearer.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm men, and she's talking about men, then I can explain it to you better.
You know what I've always said about you? You spread like probably strawberries, and you climb like peas and beans.
You're slow like honey, heavy with move.
That's right. I don't mind saying that. It's true.
Now, what was the poll for this episode?
Have you ever felt like you were so pent up, you're bursting at the seams? Yes, no. No, I'm wrong. Hold on. It was, don't look. Do you know what day it is?
Yes.
10% of our audience did not know what day it was.
Well, did they get a blowjob that morning? How they
right.
Did
right. She goes, Tuesday. It's Tuesday morning, 8 a.m.
Gross.
It wasn't even Lover Day. My God.
Right. Oh, my God. And it wasn't even Lover Day. Well, yesterday was Sunday. I know that. And it was terrible. I didn't do a gosh dang thing except for take a shower. And that was that was a huge undertaking. It was like climbing a frigging mountain called Kilimanjaro shower. You know?
Yeah, give yourself some credit. I didn't take a shower yesterday.
Thanks, Hamda.
Yeah. Whatever. It's Sunday. It's Tuesday. Who gives a shit? Take a day off.
Yeah.
Look at all this work we're doing right now. Look at all this.
Who cares? You know? Who cares? Yeah. Fiona Apple? Probably.
Yeah. Track 8. Ladies.
Ladies. Ladies. Ladies. Ladies. Ladies. Ladies. All right, guys. Well, I feel like this was a fantastic show. It was so nice to catch up with you guys. So nice to get, you know, the scuttlebutt, the 411, you know, talk about blazing ganja and, you know, fucking rolling up big fat fatties. I love all that stuff. I love it.
Can you sing us out of here?
Nothing really matters. Anyone can see. Nothing really matters to me.
Anyway, the wind blows.
Give the girl like him.
Now, what he's trying to say is that though he's just a... You get it.